It's beautiful, these readings that we have all this week of the resurrection accounts, as well as of the first days of the church from Acts of the Apostles in our first reading, that you get a sense of the freshness of the resurrection. We're still fresh in Easter, so it's great to reflect on that. And the resurrection is itself such a wonderful and mind-blowing thing, as we see from the reaction of the apostles in our gospel today. But there's a few aspects of our life as church which I've been kind of struck by reading in the readings this week, of like, this was the first time that that happened. We hear the beginning of our gospel was the end of our gospel yesterday, where the two disciples on the way to Emmaus had sat down to meal with Jesus, and he'd broken the bread, and in this celebration of the Eucharist, they had recognized him. And I just wonder how amazing it would have been for the disciples in those first days, just having encountered the resurrection, to be discovering, oh wow, now we understand what Jesus did on Holy Thursday night when he said, break this bread and drink this cup in honor of me. And now we can keep doing that and celebrating this ritual, and we get to encounter Jesus again and again. What a wonder that would have been to be celebrating the Eucharist for the first time and encountering Jesus like that. I can't imagine the Eucharist is mind-blowing enough anyway, but when the apostles were discovering it for the first time, I pray that we can have something of that wonder as we approach Jesus in the Eucharist today during Eastertide, but always, that wow, this is Jesus' death and resurrection, him here encountering us and giving us his grace. But the other thing that struck me this week is hearing the gospel message proclaimed for the first time in these readings from Acts of the Apostles, where, yes, of course, Jesus and the disciples preached while Jesus was still around and doing his ministry and that. But once he's actually died and risen again, the gospel message is sort of complete. And then after Pentecost, the church kind of takes up this message and starts proclaiming it to the world for the first time with power and wonder, and we hear about all these conversions and that. But one aspect that strikes me is that as you listen to these readings, there seems to be a lot of accusation in it. Of course, some of these first sermons that we have recorded were preached to Jews in Jerusalem, so you can understand how the disciples were kind of leveling the accusation at them that you were the ones who had killed Jesus. And it can seem like it's very harsh that they're kind of going out there and going, you guys did this and you guys did this, and it's all so terrible. But if you actually look more at the message of what they're saying, and some of the description of how they're really offering an invitation to the Jews that are listening to them, although they're very real about the fact that they were the ones who had handed Jesus over, who had rejected him, who had asked Pilate to have him crucified. They had rejected the Holy One. That's not an obstacle to the good news that they're preaching. It's part of the good news that they're preaching. The fact that Jesus had been rejected and died is now the source of life for us. So even though these were some of those very same Jews that were part of the crowd yelling to have him crucified, the apostles are kind of rejoicing to say that now you're invited into new life. And this is why the fact of our sins really is part of the proclamation of the gospel, because in the light of the resurrection, we know that our sins are overcome. They're not a depressing, unmovable fact anymore that, oh no, I'm unworthy, or I can't possibly come into God's life because I've done X, because I've done Y. But no, even though it's my sins that had crucified Jesus, he has turned that into a path of life, and I am invited into that life. Wonderful. So let's, as we are so fresh in the Easter mystery, let's not forget about our sins as if we focused on our sins and did all our penance in Lent, and now we just move on and it's all good news. Now we can kind of remember our sins and come to the Lord in repentance with the joy of Easter, because we know that he's overcome them. That no matter what we've done, it's part of the story of God wanting to bring us to redemption. So let's, particularly if there's anything hanging over us at the moment, any sins that we would like to turn our face away from, anything that we're feeling ashamed of, let's bring that into the light of the resurrection as we come before the Lord today and allow that to be part of his life-giving story for us.